Did you all know that you are all remarkably wise theologians? What is the Church of Jesus Christ? You actually are wise. You know the answer to that because you just sang a hymn that is a wonderful theology of the church. It's an explanation of what the Church of Jesus Christ is. So if you don't remember anything else today, go back and look at those words of the hymn, and it teaches you what the church is. In the same way, we're here because the church is, this seems so basic that it's almost ridiculous to have to say, but the church consists of human beings. I suppose, theoretically, animals are welcome to be here, maybe. Well, certainly if it's like a seeing eye dog or something, but the church is not for animals. The church doesn't consist of animals. It's certainly great to have plant life in the room with us too, but the church doesn't consist of trees or bushes. The church consists of human beings. And so just like you have a great theology of the church because you just sang a hymn about the church, you actually know the basics of what it means to be a human being because you remember from the very beginning when God created us, He created us out of the dust of the earth, but then breathed His Spirit into us. And so human beings are both body and soul. The Church of Jesus Christ was created by Jesus to minister to real human beings, not plants, not animals, although we are thankful for them. The Church of Jesus Christ was created to minister to people both body and soul. And so our church is actually named Christ Community Presbyterian Church. And the third word of that is the least important of the four words, but it's still an important word. It's our denomination, and our whole denomination is structured around our belief that the church is given presbyters. That means elders. That's the Greek word for elder or even for overseer. And so Jesus Christ ministers to us, to you, to me, both body and soul. And He gives to the church both elders who are raised up to care for our souls and deacons who are raised up to care for our bodies. We don't rip apart body and soul. That would lead to bad consequences. But we distinguish between them. And just like that, in the same way, we don't rip apart the duties of an elder and the duties of a deacon as if these duties, ministering to our soul and ministering to the body, are fundamentally categorically opposed or somehow. No, there's so much overlap. And yet we need both. We need people on top of, with alert eyes for our spiritual needs. How is your soul doing? We need elders. We need others to help us see how we're doing spiritually. And with people with alert, open eyes to our physical needs. How are you doing in the material things that you have, both your health and your finances? And so we have elders and deacons. Well, in the life of the church, one of the beauties of our understanding of how God establishes His church, I happen to be not the founding pastor of this church, I'm the second pastor of a still young and thriving church. But did you know that the founding pastor of our church would be the very first person to say that he actually wasn't the founding pastor? Al Baker would be the first one to remind you that the fundamental office of pastor, why is pastor given to the life of the church as an office? Why is an elder given to the life of the church as an office? Because Christ Himself is called the pastor. The elder, the chief shepherd of the sheep. He's the founding pastor of this church. And so Christ, that's one of the great prophecies, isn't it, about the Messiah from Isaiah chapter 9, is that when the Messiah would come, the government would be on his shoulders. How we do church, how the church is governed, we look to Jesus to show us, because the government is on his shoulders. We're not just making things up as we go. We see from Jesus that the church needs elders and deacons, as we've just said. And we see that this role of elder and deacon is actually fulfilled first and foremost by Christ himself. He is called the elder. He is called the bishop, the overseer, the teacher, the pastor. And he's also called the deacon. So we remember that when Christ came to this world, he comes to take the government of the church on his own shoulders. But then, does he keep it sort of selfishly to himself? No, he gives gifts to men. He gives gifts to the church. He gives to the church gifted elders and deacons to serve the church, to get down on our knees and wash feet as the chief deacon did, and to stand in front of the people and instruct and teach and counsel, and to sit with people as Jesus did. And so, that's the process that now we have the joy of this culminating day. All that God has been doing is now culminated in today. And we remember how it works in our understanding of the government of the church, this government that Christ has given to us, that the members of the church are the ones that ask for leaders. And so you all are the ones that nominated different men to the elders to train and examine. And so we went through a long process beginning last spring, actually, of training and examination, culminating with their being examined in all these different areas of the Christian life. Their Christian experience, their Christian character, their knowledge of the Bible, their knowledge of the theology of our church, their knowledge of the government of our church, their knowledge of the duties they would be taking on, being elders and deacons. And we examine them as to their willingness to give assent to the membership, to the ordination vows that they are about to take as part of this worship service. We examine them as to their understanding of these vows and their willingness to say yes from the heart to each of these things. When they pass those exams, and each one, by God's grace, with flying colors, we presented them back to you for election. And each one of them was elected nearly unanimously, if not unanimously. And so now is the time where we bring them before us and have this time of ordination. So, men, you are ready. It's been a year. But now we publicly ask you to give assent to these questions. And for each of us who are also ordained already, it's a time for us to recommit ourselves to these ordination vows. So Seth as a ruling elder, Steve Bassett, Dave Huff as deacons, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as originally given to be the inerrant word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice? Do you?
Yes.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith and the catechisms of this church as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures? And do you further promise that if at any time you find yourself out of accord with any of the fundamentals of the system of doctrine, you will, on your own initiative, make known to your session the change which has taken place in your views since the assumption of this ordination vow? Do you?
Yes.
Do you approve of the form of government and discipline of the Presbyterian Church in America in conformity with the general principles of biblical polity? Do you?
Yes.
Do you now accept the office of ruling elder or deacon, as the case may be, in this church, and promise faithfully to perform all the duties thereof and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your life and to set a worthy example before the church of which God has made you an officer? Do you?
Yes.
Do you promise subjection to your brethren in the Lord? Do you?
Yes.
And finally, do you promise to strive for the purity, peace, unity, and edification of the church? Do you?
Yes.
Amen. Now, to the members of this congregation, do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive these brothers as ruling elder or deacons? And do you promise to yield them all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which their office, according to the word of God and the constitution of this church, entitles them? If you do, please say, we do. We do. Now, I'd like to invite our present elders, and then any other elders present. Seth's father is also an ordained officer in the life of Christ Church. And so if you've been ordained as an elder in Christ Church, would you join us upstage, on stage, please? A number of years ago, I remember seeing a juggler perform, and he was the climax of his performance was he was juggling a chainsaw and two big axes. And he held up one of the axes at one point and he said, "This is the axe that George Washington used to chop down the cherry tree. The stock, the shaft, has been replaced 3 times, and the head has been replaced 2x. But it occupies the same space as the axe George Washington used to chop down the cherry tree." We know that from 2 Timothy chapter 1, we hear the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor. And we know about this one particular practice in the life of the church from this letter. Again, the government is on Jesus' shoulders. How we do church, we get that from Jesus. We're not just like making up ceremonies or practices. So we know about this one particular practice from 2 Timothy and other places where Paul says to Timothy, "For this reason, Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." This laying on of hands. We are now going to lay hands on these men. It's the same hands that the apostles used to ordain pastors. The hands have been replaced countless times. But it's the same set of hands. Jesus Christ giving to his church this gift through the laying on of hands, a gift that you all will be charged to fan into flame. And so, Seth, if I could ask you to come and kneel before us, and the elders to gather around him, and let's lay hands on our brother. And let's pray for him. Heavenly Father, you are present with us. Here in this place, you have established and formed your church here in West Hartford. And we know that because of each person you're gathering week in and week out for over a decade now. And we know that because of the men you have raised up to be our elders. We thank you for this gift you are giving to our church. This gift that you are giving to Seth himself, that he will now fan into flame and pass on to the rest of us. This gift of your presence. We pray your blessings upon him now.
Father, it is you who have established the church and this design of overseers. So for your glory and your honor, would you provide this young man with knowledge, with wisdom, with insight, so that he may fulfill this role with your strength.
Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this time. It's not by accident, it's not by chance, but it's according to your purpose and for your glory. And so we would pray that you would be with Seth, that you would help him to fulfill the vows that he has made this morning, that he would not tire from doing good, that he would continue to grow in the knowledge of you, and that knowledge would be applied to his life, that he might serve this congregation for your honor and for your glory and for their good.
Amen. Amen.
Father, it's with our hands we lay upon Seth the continuation of this position which you started thousands of years ago for your glory and for the blessing upon your church. We pray for Seth's physical strength. We pray for his emotional strength. We pray for his spiritual strength, that as he continues to guide his young family in nurture and admonition of yourself, that he also will be able to provide the same to this body as he desires to live his life out as an example of what it is to be a believer in Christ. So, Lord, encourage and strengthen him day in and day out for the call that's been placed upon him.
Lord Jesus Christ, you who are the chief shepherd of the sheep, you who are the elder, the older brother who seeks and saves us, it is in your name that we offer up all these prayers for our brother and elder, Seth Mancini. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And now, Seth's first official action as an elder is most appropriate. It's to pray and lay hands on the deacons. Now, so if you brothers, Dave Huff and Steve Bassett, would step forward and take a knee as well. And again, we'll gather around them and the elders of the Church of Jesus. Lay hands on these men, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, in the same way we thank you that you have replaced the hands that have been laid on your officers, and you've replaced the places in which your church would be established for thousands of years now, and yet it really is the same gospel, the same church. We thank you that you've given us Dave Huff and Steve Bassett as deacons in the life of this church, these particular men raised up for your glory. We pray your blessings upon them now.
Father, we acknowledge that in your word you say that you've given us all a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, a variety of services, but the same Lord, a variety of activities, but all of this, Lord, is empowered by you. And we acknowledge that in these men, you have given them gifts that can be used by you for the furtherance of your church and for the benefit of the bride. And it's our desire, Lord, that you would use them powerfully, but that you would also encourage them, that you would, in the quiet of the night and the still of the morning, meet with them, encourage them by your Spirit to carry on the good work that they've been charged to do, strengthen them and their families during this time, and acknowledge, Lord, that every good and perfect gift comes to you, but they might see the outworkings of their work for your glory, that they would be encouraged by that each and every step. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you for these men. Thank you for what they mean to me personally. Thank you for what they mean to this congregation and to your church. Please strengthen them for the task that you have set before them, and use them mightily in the years to come.
Lord, we know that there is so much wonderful overlap between the needs of our body and the needs of our soul, and there's overlap between these responsibilities you give to elders and the responsibilities you give to deacons. And yet we thank you for the particular attention that Steve and Dave will be able to give now to our physical needs here in this church and in this place at this time. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the deacon par excellence, the one who came to serve, the one who came to give up his very life for his people. Thank you for giving servants to the church, to our church, in this time and this place. Thank you for giving Dave and Steve to us. And we pray your blessings upon them now and all their days. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Now, if you men would stand. I have the great privilege of announcing and declaring to you, in conformity with the Word of God, with the government that is on the shoulders of Jesus, given now to His church, I have the great privilege of pronouncing and declaring that Seth Mancini, as a ruling elder, and David Huff and Steve Bassett as deacons, have been regularly elected, ordained, and installed in this church, agreeable to the Word of God and according to the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church in America, and that as such they are entitled to all encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Now, except for the three of you, you all may be seated. And if you all would just come stand just up. Oh, yeah, Bill, I'm sorry. Come back up. Again, this is an important moment, this right hand of fellowship that we give to these men. From Galatians chapter 2, we know that this is a moment where we publicly acknowledge and declare these are trustworthy men, the Church of Jesus Christ, extending this right hand of fellowship. Welcome, my brother. Welcome, my brother. All right. Good. So this way you can be kind of in my eye line of sight, but also I talk through you to the congregation. There's a passage at the end of 1 Timothy, these pastoral epistles that an early pastor wrote to a fellow pastor. That's why they're called the pastoral epistles. And so 1 Timothy, written to Timothy, Paul says this. And so, brothers, if you don't remember anything else today, here is your charge. It's the end of 1 Timothy, the very last part of 1 Timothy. This charge that Paul gives, I now give to you. I charge you not to be haughty. I charge you not to set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. I charge you to do good. I charge you to be rich in good works. I charge you to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up for yourselves as a good foundation for the future treasure. We give this charge to you so that you may take hold of that which is truly riches, which is truly life. And I also charge you to guard the deposit entrusted to you. I charge you to avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing that sort of thing, some have swerved from the faith. So those are Paul's charges to Timothy at the end of his letter. And they're the church's charge to you all today, 2,000 years later, on the other side of the globe, the same acts. The same charge given to you. But one additional charge, which is a little bit subtle, but just in the context. Paul gives this charge to Timothy, but he also charges Timothy to give a charge. And so one additional charge to you is not just, I charge you to live this life that's portrayed for us here. But I also charge you this one particular responsibility, which is I do charge you to charge the rest of us regularly. You are now, as you maybe have all heard before, but when we examine men for office, we examine them about their Christian character. And there's nothing in that Christian character which is expected of only leaders. There's no special extra measure of Christian character that isn't necessary for the rest of the Christian life. All we're doing is we're examining them as to the basic Christian character that all of us are expected to live. But one big difference is they now, and it's why I had us come up to the stage today. We rarely use the stage in our worship services. Jesus draws near to us, and I enjoy just preaching near to you. But the difference is we're examining them as to their Christian character because they have to live the same Christian life that the rest of us live, but publicly, in front of us. They are the public officers of the church. Part of that public leadership role is they are to be the ones who then pass on these same charges to us regularly. And so I charge you to be regularly charging the rest of us to not be haughty. I charge you to charge the rest of us to not set our hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. I charge you to charge the rest of us to do good, to be rich in good works. I charge you to charge the rest of us to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for ourselves that are a good foundation for the future. I charge you to charge the rest of us to do this so that we may all take hold of that which is truly life. Do you accept this charge? Amen. Thank you. Let's go.